This is Baseball Today.
First and foremost, I'm a baseball player.
Baseball is a funny game. There's a round ball that comes in a square box.
And then I ended up getting up and talking. I started to really get going, and I had to kind of cut myself off.
I know the fans are great. You know, this is where I wanted to be from day one.
Play ball!
Baseball Today.
Hi there, welcome to the Baseball Today. It's Friday, April 9th, 2010. I am Eric Carabell, your host, getting you ready for the weekend in baseball. If you love baseball, this is the place to be. Behind the glass, Jay Soderberg. And our special guest on today's show is, you see him all over ESPN.com, ESPN TV, ESPN The Mag, it's Jason Stark. Jason, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Great to be here, Eric.
All right, Jason, less than a week down in baseball this season. Off the top of your head, what have you learned?
Well, let's see. What have we learned? We've learned that the Giants can pitch. This just in. And we've learned that the Astros, without Lance Berkman, can hit. I found those things to be very interesting. As we look around the sport, I mean, there's some interesting individual stories, don't you think? How about Vlad Guerrero? Three straight multi-hit games. You know how many times he had three straight multi-hit games last year, Eric?
You're going to tell me, though.
Zero.
I don't know. Probably zero.
Never once. And then in his first three games as the Rangers. So a lot of fun stuff out there.
And people should check out Jason's Rumblings and Grumblings, originally published, I believe, yesterday. And it talks about the Yankees and the Red Sox and realignment, which I've talked about so much on the show by myself that I'm tired of it. But I do want to ask you something else about the Yankees and Red Sox. The fact that their games take about twice as long as other teams do, which I don't personally mind because I love baseball and I don't mind it, but umpire Joe West seems to mind it, and I seem to mind his comments. I'm a little concerned here that umpires are talking about how long these games are, but you know, Yankees and Red Sox are two good teams. Their games should take longer, shouldn't they?
Well, you know, it seems to me, Eric, that there are two separate issues here. And one is what Joe West said, and the other is who said it. I mean, the part about who said it is kind of shocking. I know that there's a lot of pressure being put on umpires to speed up the games. I know that Joe West is one of the umpires out there who will let you know what he thinks. But I'm really shocked that he said what he said and said it how he said it. And I can guarantee you he has gotten an earful on what he said and how he said it over the last 24 hours. But, the other end of this is a really interesting topic within the game. Yankee-Red Sox games do not exactly zip along, as we've all noticed. And, look, part of that's because they're always on TV, and we're talking about almost an hour of commercial breaks in every nationally televised game. So that is part of it. But the other part of it is this approach that they take, both these teams, top of the order through the last man in the order, to grinding out at bats. You know, it's a great baseball strategy, but it's not a great entertainment strategy. You know, these games really do slow down for all kinds of reasons. So remember during the postseason last year, all those Jorge Posada visits to the mound 17 times an inning. I mean, all this stuff is just constantly being batted around within the sport. I don't know exactly what you can do about it because it sure isn't illegal. And I always thought the beauty of baseball was there's no clock. Well, how come we're looking at the clock all of a sudden?
I don't know. I mean, I think TV has a lot to do with this, of course. I just wish people would complain less. I mean, I'm just happy baseball's here and that the games matter, and I'm going to enjoy the games no matter if they take 2 hours or 4 hours. I remember Jim Cotton back in the old, when I was growing up for the Phillies. I mean, he'd spin a game in 2 hours, 10 minutes. I mean, that was fine, too, you know? I mean,
that Jim cannot Cotton, be done anymore.
Cannot be done. Well, Mark Burley, I think, can still once a year do it, but
right.
Other than that, it's kind of difficult. Well, getting you ready for the weekend, Yankees and Tampa Bay, which a lot of people think Tampa Bay is just as good. I mean, they could be a World Series contender. They certainly seem to have the pitching and enough offense. And on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon, CC Sabathia, who did not do well in his first outing, faces Wade Davis. And Wade Davis had a bad spring. He's their fifth starter right now, maybe holding the job for Jeremy Hellickson. But what do you expect out of the Yankees Rays series? I think that's the key game because I think Davis needs to pitch well for the Rays there.
Well, they need him. If you were to just stack up lineups, Yankees, Rays, Red Sox, I'm not sure you wouldn't take the Rays lineup top to bottom. You'd certainly take the Rays outfield. Their question is, are Wade Davis and David Price ready to step in and make an impact and allow that rotation to pitch with the Yankees rotation and the Red Sox rotation? I think both of those guys are works in progress. they're being depended on to throw 200 innings. They are not going to be babied this year, and especially Wade Davis. I mean, there's a big debate about Wade Davis and, you know, whether he's ever going to have enough fastball command, whether he should be a reliever and not a starter. That first start of the year against the Yankees and CeCe, there'll be a lot of people paying attention to that.
One of the debates that I've had with listeners on this show this week is about whether series matter in April. I mean, I've always been saying, and I used to say with my former co-host, that, you know, yeah, it's important. You know, every game matters, whether the Yankees play the Red Sox or the Orioles. It still counts as a win or a loss in the standings. But no statements can really be made this early in the season. Yankees or Red Sox, there was no sweep there. If the Yankees could get demolished this weekend, it's not that big a deal. Do you agree with that, or do you think that there are statements to be made this early?
Well, you know, I wrote about this actually a couple weeks ago, Eric. I really do think that what separates the great teams from the teams that don't get to play in October is they understand the meaning of these games right now. Now, I mean, look, obviously they're not going to have the attention and the pressure and the focus of the world that you're going to have if the same two teams meet in September. But these games matter. And, you know, I think the Yankees really understand, because there's so many veteran players who've been through it, just how much they matter. And I would think that the Rays, after what happened to them last April, would really understand, too. There's a lot of talk in Tampa Bay about trying to get off to a good start with all their home games early that they didn't have last year, all their schedule advantages that they didn't have last year. This is a big series. You know, it's not like this is the last weekend of the season. But this does matter for both teams, because we've all seen a lot of examples over the years of teams that get rolling in April, get a good vibe going, and ride it. And the Rays of 2008 were one of the best examples I can think of.
The Minnesota Twins are in Chicago this weekend to face the White Sox. And that's a big series, I guess. I mean, you know, those two teams could go down to the wire again. I think the White Sox are going to win that division, but certainly a lot of people think the Twins will. Francisco Liriano makes the start on Friday night, and this is probably a pretty important start for him. He had a great winter ball, did very well in the spring with 30 strikeouts against only 5 walks. He looks like he's back, but then if he gets lit tonight, he might not be. So what are you watching for in the Twins-White Sox series? Is it more than just Liriano?
Well, it's a little bit of a barometer on both teams. I'm interested that you're so convinced that the White Sox are going to win the Central.
I think they're going to contend.
I think they're going to contend too. Didn't you just say you thought the White Sox were going to win the Central?
I picked them to win the Central. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I got a lot of angry emails from Twins fans searching for respect. It's not about respect. I just think the White Sox have a good team. Do you not like the White Sox?
You know, I admire that you can get people in Minnesota riled up. It takes a lot. That's going.
I try.
But back to your original question, I do think this is a fascinating start for Francisco Liriano. And here's why. You know, when you look at that twin staff, you see a lot of guys who paint and throw strikes and dance around the strike zone and try to win that way. The one guy who has a chance to win with stuff, to dominate with stuff, to just overpower hitters, is Francisco Liriano, and the stuff is back. And I think that's been clear to anybody who has watched him closely over the winter and this spring. One scout said to me this spring, he looks like he's trying to strike out every hitter he faces, and he's got the stuff to do it. Well, the Twins need that. They need that ingredient in their rotation, I think, if they're going to be a team that does damage in October. So how Francisco Liriano harnesses that stuff and the kind of season he has from starts 1 through 32 or 3. That's a big development in the life of the American League this year.
I agree. And I just think I like Ozzie's team. I like the makeup of the team. I like the bullpen. I like the rotation. Even if Freddie Garcia gets whacked on Saturday, I mean, they've got a kid named Daniel Hudson who I think can step in and be better, actually. I don't feel the need to defend my White Sox pick. I actually picked, but the MVP is Miguel Cabrera, and so far he looks awesome.
Miguel Cabrera is you know, I was really struck this spring by how different he seemed. You know, he just really seemed to be a guy in a lot different frame of mind, in peace, ready to have that year that we've all been waiting for him to have since October of 2003. And if he really has it, we're looking at a mini Albert Pujols, aren't we?
I think he's very similar, and I think he can do that if he wants to. And so far, I mean, it's early. I mean, Werner Wells is on pace for 200 homers, but yes, I'd like to see Cabrera have a big year. I like to see when guys can fix their personal problems. You know, I mean, I see Tiger Woods this weekend is the big story, but I like to see when people can overcome personal demons.
Right.
Okay, personal demons, maybe Carlos Zambrano. I think it's a big start for him on Sunday. Cubs at the Reds. Interesting matchup here. You know, people think, oh, number one pitchers always face number one pitchers. That almost never happens after opening day. I mean, Sabathia is facing Wade Davis. The Cubs-Cincinnati game, Zambrano is facing Mike Leake of Cincinnati, who was their first-round pick last year, I believe. So he's obviously like their number five. Zambrano, it's a big start. He gave up 8 runs in his opening day. And I have a feeling that Lou Piniella is not going to have a whole lot of patience if that continues.
Well, I mean, we talked about the Twins needing Francisco Liriano. The Cubs need Carlos Zambrano big time. I mean, he's facing a guy, not just making his first big league start, making his first professional start. Right? Mike Leake has never pitched in the minor leagues. And so this is a game the Cubs have to win, that Carlos Zambrano has to win. I mean, that effort that he gave on opening day was a debacle. To have his team go out and get him a lead in the first inning and then give up 6 in the bottom of the first and be gone before the second inning's over, you just can't have that from your ace. And, you know, there are a lot of things that drive them nuts about Carlos Zambrano, but, I mean, normally, at least when you get him to the mound, you're willing to put up with the other stuff. Right, but that if that's not going to be the case, they got a big mess on their hands.
I think they might anyway, because I don't know who's going to set up Marmol. And part of the reason I thought Zambrano wasn't successful in opening day is because he showed no emotion. I mean, I kind of like it if he's, you know, he's getting angry and passionate. He just looked like he had nothing anyway. I think it's kind of a big weekend for the Cubs. Now, you mentioned Mike Leake not pitching in the minor leagues at all, which is unusual. A lot of people think Steven Strasburg should be in the major leagues right now. If you watch Washington's rotation against Philadelphia this week, it's like minor league worthy, to be honest. Strasburg will make his professional debut on Sunday. Have you ever been to Altoona, Pennsylvania, Jason?
I've been in that ballpark several
I have
times.
I was there, too.
Fact, it's a lot of fun. You know, bring the kids, little amusement park action out there, right field. Tremendous place. And, this will certainly be the biggest sporting event ever to take place in Altoona. I think that's safe to say, Eric. And, you know, I can't wait to see where this leads. I was in DC the other day. I saw Steven Strasburg pitch this spring. It's going to be fun to watch. I mean, it's going to be a fun ride. I do think that he's mostly there for business reasons. That's no secret. But I do think there's other stuff at work here. And, you know, one of the things that they were pointing out to me the other day in D.C. was, you know, it's not like he's ever done a lot of pitching when there were men on base. You know, nobody was ever on base. They really want him to work on all that stuff. The spring, when he had guys on base, he really rushed his delivery. They want him to slow down. They want him to work on holding runners. There are some experiences that Steven Strasburg can work on in the minor leagues that they'd prefer that he work on in places like Altoona, PA, and not Washington, D.C. I think that's a big part of why he's there.
I'll be honest, I can't name one member of the Altoona Curve. I think it's still the Curve.
I will
look that up. The Altoona Curve, that's where
Strasburg... Do you know why it's the Altoona Curve? You're a Pennsylvanian.
I assume it's because, what, a highway or something?
The biggest landmark in Altoona is the Horseshoe Curve. It's a railroad phenomenon.
Right.
it's a place where the train is running through the mountains, and they basically have to have the tracks go in this gigantic, almost a U-turn, like what looks like a horseshoe, in order to wind it through the mountains. And it's a big attraction there. And that's what the Altoona Curve is named after. Now, you don't get that kind of insight everywhere, do you?
See, now, they call it useless information, Jason. That doesn't seem useless to me. I'll never forget that.
And next time you're in Altoona, aren't you going to go see that horseshoe curve? I know
I covered high school football there. Pennsylvania State Championship football is there in Altoona. It's a fine place. We're contractually obligated here to mention Jason Heyward. So give us your projections on his final numbers for this season.
Well, I mean, history would tell us they're not going to be what people think. there's only been two 20-year-olds in the last 50 years who hit 30 homers in a season. One was A-Rod, and the other was Tony Conigliaro. So I'm going to say he lands south of that. I'm going to say 26, 27. And but I think you're going to see a guy with a real high on base. So I'm going to go about a 365, 370 type on base, somewhere in that range, slugging high 400s. I don't think he's going to have one of those years where the numbers blow you away, but the player, the presence of the player and what he's going to be, that's the part that blows us away.
It's going to be awesome. I think he's going to be very good, and I think the Braves are going to make things very difficult for the Phillies in the National East. Oh, absolutely. I think the Braves are terrific. Certainly, I like their bullpen better. You got to, and their rotation better. I don't know about their lineup so
one
much.
One of the great staffs in the National League, for sure.
Terrific staff. One final question. Sunday Night Baseball, St. Louis Cardinals at Milwaukee Brewers, 8:05. You can check it, of course, on ESPN. And it's Chris Carpenter against a pitcher who actually had more quality starts than he did last season, Randy Wolf. I don't think too many people know about Randy Wolf. Obviously, pitching for the Phillies, you got to see him quite a bit. But his first start, 8 strikeouts, no walks. He won the game. Good pickup by the Brewers.
You know, I think you can question the price tag, but, I mean, he's clearly an upgrade on what they were running out there last year. And if the Brewers get consistent starting pitching, that's a team that certainly has a chance to hang in the race. And I don't think Randy Wolf will have the same numbers pitching in Milwaukee that he had pitching in Dodger Stadium, but I do think he's a guy who has figured it out, who is now healthy, and he's always had that ability, Eric, to throw, you know, fastballs past right-handed hitters, even though they almost never touch 90. You know, the hitters just can't find the ball. And he mixes that with that breaking ball that's like 60. And so he's got this 30-mile-an-hour separation between pitches that makes him very difficult to face. It's going to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it.
I am, too. And I want to see the stands if the Brewers fans have a Wolf pack, you know, of people and taking off their shirts and writing Wolf on their chest and, you know, celebrating like we did in Philadelphia at the Vet.
Yeah, didn't catch on in L.A., the Wolf pack.
Yeah, well, L.A.'s different. You know, Milwaukee with all the beer and all, come on. I mean, you know, if we could do it at the Vet, all right.
They could have actual wolves, I think, in Milwaukee, right? Aren't there some wolves running around the northern part of Wisconsin?
I would assume so. I don't know. Is there a curve there, too?
Why don't you go look, see if you can track some down and bring them to the game.
I'll Google that after the show. Okay. All right, you can check out Jason Stark's Rumblings and Grumblings on ESPN's baseball page. And, of course, he's all over everywhere else on ESPN, radio, television, all that. Jason, have a great weekend. Thank you for joining me on the Baseball Today.
Great to be here, Eric. Thanks. You too.
Thanks. All right, so that was Jason Stark, always giving great information. And I'll tell you, if there are five individuals who I read all the time on ESPN.com, he's one of them. And all five might actually be baseball, but Jason Stark is definitely one of them. You know, Nyer, Buster, come on. We know who writes the good stuff, and Jason Stark, of course, does. All right, I guess now it's time for Around the Diamond.
News from around the league.
Let's go Around the Diamond.
All right, what's the big news coming off of Thursday? Obviously, umpire Joe West, I want to stay out of trouble, but I think I've already made my case here. It's ridiculous what he said, and I'll leave it at that. They're not too slow. I love baseball, so I don't care that it takes 4.5 hours to do it, okay? And actually, somebody wrote me, Jordan posted something on my wall that said, why do people complain about the length of a baseball game? As much as it costs to go to a game, the longer it goes, the better. I'm a Cubs fan, and Chicago's about 4.5 hours drive from me. I don't really want to spend the money and take that time to drive that far, and then the game takes 2 hours or half the time it took to get me there. You know what? I see that point, too. I just, you know, it doesn't bother me. It kind of bothers me when umpires speak out of line, but we'll see how that ends up going. And, again, I don't want to name any names. I'm going to keep my job. What else is going on in baseball? And if you want to read some good commentary, go to ESPN's baseball coverage, and you will see it. Wallace Matthews from ESPNNewYork.com writes about it as well. Let's just get right to what the games of the day were on Thursday. It was a good schedule. Some good stuff happened, and that's what I want to talk about. Vernon Wells hits another home run. You know, Toronto is 2-1. It's a good start for them. It's a bad start for Texas. I think Texas's bullpen might be something to worry about here. Frank Francisco, who had about 18 DL stints last year, somebody to watch. Pirates are not going to go undefeated. They lost to the Dodgers. We thought we had such great high hopes for them. Tigers beat the Royals. That Royals bullpen, man, every day is going to be a problem. Pretty much every single day there. Brett Anderson looks awesome for Oakland. I predicted he was going to be, one of the breakout performers this season, and he was a breakout performer last year. So Randy Wells, I don't know why he doesn't get any credit. He had a very good rookie year for the Cubs. He's probably that team's ace right now. I mean, Zambrano, as I'll get to later, a big start this weekend for him. Carlos Marmol had to come in the eighth inning. I don't know how Lou Piniella is going to get through the season with that middle relief. I just don't see him having a whole lot. Brian Mattis made his made the start for the Orioles, not his debut. He pitched last year. Two runs in five innings. He earns the win, but a good strikeout guy and a good future. He could be the rookie of the year in the American League, certainly one of the candidates. And the Twins can really hit. I mean, I think the Twins are going to put up some numbers this year offensively. They certainly have a better offense than the White Sox and the Tigers. I guess my question is with the rotation, but we'll see Liriano on Friday. It's a big start for him. Twins win 10-1, seven of those runs coming off Fernando Rodney types late in the game. I don't see any other news that really should take up our time today. I want to get to the emails and preview the weekend. So let's move it along now to the emails. Call to the pen.
Call to the pen. You've got email.
We do, and you can send your emails to, of course, baseballtoday@espnradio.com. Jay, you have something to say?
I just want to take this moment to thank Roberta Poling, who was nice enough to mess around with my avatar on Facebook.
Is that right? What did she do?
Yes. Well, she just changed it up for me. She added a few things I was looking to add to promote autism awareness. So I'm very happy that she did
that. You're not being sarcastic?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. By the way, a number of people have emailed me over the last couple of days saying that they don't want to hear from you on the show anymore. So I hope you don't take that personally.
Too bad for them.
You're going to do it anyway.
Correct.
By the way, Roberta posted something on my wall that says, unless I missed it, I don't think you did birthdays in Thursday's podcast, but tomorrow is my birthday. So you can do it on Friday and tell me what baseball players were born on my birthday. Great work. Keep up the podcast. And Jay may have to do a new rant song because you almost had a rant on Thursday. I realized that after the show. That was kind of a rant, wasn't it? What was it about?
You don't even listen.
Anyway, happy birthday to Roberta. And I do have birthdays. Felix Hernandez was celebrating his, 16th birthday on Thursday's show. Players born today of note, David Robertson of the Yankees. How about that? Dennis Sarfati of the Orioles. I don't see anybody else who's active right now. Graham Lloyd, the Australian, I believe. Hal Morris, good for him. Jose Guzman, Kirk McCaskill. Don't see any Hall of Famers. Not exactly a big day. Hippo Vaughn, though, one of those names from the past that you just don't get anymore. Hippo Vaughn and Happy Townsend. Happy birthday to them. All right, email time. And another thing I need to do before I forget. Jeff Bennett, one of the top researchers at ESPN, and a good friend of Mark Simon's. Mark Simon does terrific work on Wednesdays. I think we're going to keep him there. But I don't know why I didn't say this, but I knew deep down that players can only become eligible for the Hall of Fame by playing in their 10th season. So Pujols and Ichiro became eligible when they played on opening day this year. They both debuted in 2001. So Jeff Bennett sent me the list of eligible candidates. They must meet the following requirements. One of them, of course, is 10 Major League Championship seasons. And what is this? They must be retired for 5 years or cease being an active player. Anyway, stuff like that. And any player on baseball is ineligible. This shall not be an eligible candidate. Pete Rose is a Hall of Famer. He may not be in the Hall of Fame, but he's a Hall of Fame player. Okay, now to the emails. And thank you to Jeff and thank you to Mark. Great job. ESPN's research is second to none. Oh, here's Roger in Washington, D.C. with a novel. I keep hearing things I wanted to respond to on this week's show, so here it goes. First, Eric, you were totally wrong on the Hall of Fame qualification, as I'm sure others have noted. Players are only eligible for induction after they've been in the majors for 10 years. You know, I know, and I'm sure I make mistakes. Why I said that, I can't tell you. How many years did Sandy Koufax play? I'm looking this up as we speak, and my computer is getting there. I don't think he did play 10 years. Okay. Anyway, yeah, all right, I made a mistake. I knew it. Also, you twice mentioned the great Ernie Lombardi this week. Lombardi won the batting championship not just once, but twice in his career as a catcher. He was reportedly the slowest player in the majors during his career, so he obviously managed it without any infield hits to help him along. However, the first thing that I thought when Buster only mentioned Lombardi was not his batting titles at all, but his famous snooze in the 10th inning of the fourth game of the 1939 World Series when he allowed two runners to score on a single play at the plate. Sorry, Ernie. I'm sure he'd rather just be remembered for the batting titles. I was not around in 1939, but I had read about that. I knew Lombardi and apparently Bubbles Hargrave from the winning batting titles as a catcher. It's not easy to do. Joe Mauer's great. And then Roger writes about the subject of players who played their whole career for a single team. It happened more often prior to free agency, but it's worth noting it didn't happen as often as people like to nostalgically believe. A partial list, he goes on to list 30 players here. He's right, and someday when I have more time, or a co-host, we'll go through a list of players that I think will play their entire career currently with a team. Thank you for the email, Roger. Hey, keep me honest, people. If I see something wrong on the show, I want to hear about it. I always want the feedback, and there we go. This is Patrick in Texas. I'm saddened as a longtime Rangers fan when I saw a good pitching performance get thrown away, such as C.J. Wilson and Neftali Feliz on Thursday. I do not understand why you would want to take out Feliz after he just struck out the side in the heart of Toronto's order. Some would say it was to save his arm, but is this not the same Feliz that was fighting for a spot in the rotation? Age-old argument here, Patrick, and you're right. Neftali Feliz struck out the side in the eighth inning yesterday, but in this era of baseball, they have closers to get the final out, final three outs. And that's how managers manage. And it is unfortunate. But the other thing is that this isn't baseball in the 70s where Rich Gosses were getting 8-9 outs for a save or Bruce Sutter. There's a reason why there's specialization, because guys like Frank Francisco can pad their save totals by only getting 3 outs. And he didn't even have to face the heart of that Toronto order. Feliz could have closed that game. I don't know how many times I've seen, look, Philadelphia, 1993 World Series, Mitch Williams in Game 6. Should he have been out there at all, or should it have been the guy who pitched the 8th inning whose name escapes me at this moment, but I'm sure I'll figure it out soon. Anyway, yes, Feliz could have finished that game. You don't know. He might have given up runs, too, in the 9th inning. They're using him as a setup man and their main setup guy, and he could be a closer soon if Francisco continues to struggle, which he certainly did. Vernon Wells hitting that ball a long way. C.J. Wilson, interesting, a reliever, a closer type, who's in their rotation, and he pitched very well. Texas would be fine. I want to see how Josh Hamilton does this weekend, because he's really struggling at the plate. Didn't even start Thursday's game. And, you shouldn't need a breather on day three of the season, but 0 for 7 with 6 strikeouts. It'll get better. Joe in Santa Monica, California. I'm a huge Dodgers fan. I respect the Phillies, but hate that they beat us 2 seasons in a row in the playoffs. The problem clearly seems to be starting pitching. While the Phillies go out and get the likes of Cliff Lee last season and Roy Halladay, the Dodgers have stood pat. The McCourt divorce thing is a huge issue looming over the Dodgers. Do you think that will prevent the team from making a substantial move by the trade deadline? It's frustrating. No, I don't think it will. I think if the Dodgers really need a starting pitcher, they can go out and get it. I think they can spend some money to do it. I don't think they're going to get the best pitcher in baseball, whoever that may be at the deadline, and I don't really know who would be out there. I mean, Kevin Millwood of the Orioles should probably be available. You got to look at bad teams and what's going to be available. I mean, San Diego's not going to be throwing Kevin Correa out there in their own division, but, I mean, Vicente Padilla, it's a big outing this weekend for him. He got blasted in his first start, and if he gets blasted again, I'm not sure how many more times Joe Torre will allow it to happen. And, the Dodgers' middle relief, they have both Russ Ortiz and Ramon Ortiz. I mean, their problems aren't only with starting pitching. I mean, they've also got issues in that bullpen leading up to Cheryl and Broxton. I don't think it's all because of this divorce. I want to hope that it's not, to be honest with you. That's enough emails, right? Or we said we'd get 3, and that was 3. So that's it for the emails for today. Thank you. Keep sending them. We'll get to them on Monday's show, which I believe will be Power Rankings. But you know what? I can do Power Rankings anyway. It doesn't matter whether anyone else is doing them. So I'm going to do Power Rankings on Monday's show. Just remind me. That's it for the emails. And now I want to look ahead to the View from Third.
Almost home.
Taking a look at tonight's matchups.
This is the View from Third.
Rushing now to get it into 30 minutes. Running out of time. Sunday Night Baseball features the Cardinals at the Brewers. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio. It'll be Chris Carpenter, who nearly won the Cy Young Award last year against Randy Wolf, who nobody seems to like very much, but he had a pretty good year for the Dodgers, and I think he's going to have a pretty good year for the Brewers. And again, a lot of quality starts, 24 quality starts last year. I mean, that was 2 off the National League lead, I believe. Who is this weekend important for? Okay? Because, the Phillies could lose 2 out of 3 at Houston. It's not going to derail their season. The Astros are winless. The Giants face the Braves. I mean, the Giants are undefeated, but whether the 2-1 or 3-0 isn't really that big a deal. I'm interested to see if they can pitch as well against the Braves. I think the Braves offense is obviously better than what Houston's was. So National League, obviously, Zambrano and the Cubs, I think, is a team to watch this weekend, because I don't think the Cubs can afford to do badly. in Cincinnati. I mean, it's a rival of theirs. Zambrano was awful in his first outing. Washington and the Mets. Johan goes on Sunday against Levon. Johan and Levon, not too many guys these days you can say just first names about, but the Mets have to step up in Johan's outings. They have not won in anyone else's starts. So that's something to watch there. The American League, I think, is where it's at this weekend. Certainly Yankees, Tampa Bay. I mean, those are two very good teams, and I want to see how it goes. I think it's more, as Jason Stark said earlier, it's more important for Tampa Bay. Javi Vasquez, David Price are the scheduled starters on Friday. And on Saturday, CC Sabathia, Wade Davis. I think it's an important outing for Wade Davis. Horrible spring. He did win the fifth starter job, but obviously Andy Sonnenstein is sitting there. He pitched in relief on Thursday. Jeremy Hellickson was probably just about ready to get a rotation spot. And Tampa Bay, unlike, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox and maybe the Phillies and other teams that you think are playoff bound or could be and have money, you know, Tampa Bay can't afford a bad start because in July they'd have to trade Carl Crawford. They'd be forced to almost. So Tampa Bay needs a good start. I think they're going to play well this weekend. Sunday's matchup, A.J. Burnett and James Shields, two good right-handed starters there. Nothing to worry about. And I think Minnesota White Sox, you know, it's an interesting series as well. I don't know if there's so much to prove so much because I think both these teams are winning 85 games and they'll go down to the wire. Maybe they have a one-game playoff this year. I think Detroit needs to fatten up a little bit on teams like Cleveland. I mean, look what Cleveland's throwing out there this weekend. I mean, Huff, Talbot, and Westbrook, and you know Westbrook's a veteran, but he's so hittable. I mean, Miguel Cabrera could have a huge game on Sunday. You know, the Tigers have better pitching. I'm interested to see how Jeremy Bonnerman does. Dontrelle Willis, good job by Dontrelle Willis. He gives up, he walks the first batter of the game on Thursday, and I'm thinking, oh no, don't do this again. I mean, I'm sure he's trying to get outs, but he gives up a walk and a single to the first two batters on Kansas City, and I'm thinking, please, I root for people. I root for human beings. He gets out of it, and he goes six strong innings, and he walks only two batters in some. Obviously, doesn't get the win, doesn't go far enough because they didn't beat up the Kansas City bullpen until after he left. But good first outing for Dontrelle Willis, and I think it's going to be interesting what Jeremy Bonnerman does as well. So I think that's it. Was there anything else I needed to read or talk about on today's show? I read the important stuff from Facebook, and emails are done, and Sunday Night Baseball, of course, Cardinals at the Brewers, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, ESPN Radio, game starts at 8, but listen to all the stuff that goes up to it, and maybe we'll even hear from our old friend at some point, and that's about it. Jay, I'm sure you have nothing else to add, so I won't even ask. Do you have anything to add?
Are you featured in that pregame show, too? I know you were last week.
What do you mean?
Yeah, they featured your fantasy tips last week on the pregame show.
Is that right?
They did.
When did I do that? Oh, I must have recorded some for radio. Okay.
Yeah, well
they didn't ask me this week, so I guess I'm not going to be featured this week.
Gotcha.
But you know how things work at ESPN. I'll get an email at 8 o'clock tonight saying, hey, in 10 minutes, can you be on and give us something? So, you know, if they want it, sure. I mean, whatever ESPN wants. They're the worldwide leader. All right, big weekend of baseball, first full weekend of the season, and 6 months more of this, and I love it, and I can't wait for it, and I'll be watching, and then on Monday I'll be back to discuss it all with you, so please send your emails, and listen to the show next week as well, and every week. This is the Baseball Today. For Jason Stark, for Jay Soderberg, I am Eric Carabel. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Baseball Today. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.
Yeah, that's what we've been looking for.